Great, let me read Psalm 37 for us then. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it turns only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart and their bows shall be broken. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine they have abundance. But the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glories of the pastures. They vanish like smoke, they vanish away. The wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. Turn away from evil and do good, so shall ye dwell forever. For the Lord loves justice, and he will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart, his steps do not slip. The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. The Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned when he is brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. I have seen a wicked, ruthless man, spreading himself like a green laurel tree. But he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. Mark the blameless, and behold the upright, for there is a future for the man of peace. But transgressors should be altogether destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them, because they take refuge in him. Let me pray for Glenn as he comes to teach this. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it has something to say with relevance. And we pray resonance to our work and to our day ahead. Pray that we would hear you speak through Glenn now. Amen.
Thank you, Naomi. Good afternoon. Good to see you guys here. As we do this series on the Psalms, I was thinking back to when I was, trying to pass time in the workplace, or even trying to pass time in exams. You know, when you've given 3 hour slot for an exam and you finish it within an hour, and so you got 2 hours of just sitting there doing nothing. Well, I used to sing through albums by the Killers, or the Verve, whatever it was, just to get me through that day. And maybe that's you guys. What songs do you sing through when you're in the workplace, when you're finding things slower? What do you listen to? We're hoping that as we go through this series, that we're giving you guys ideas of songs to turn to when you want to seek the Lord's help in work. Let me just quickly pray as we look at Psalm 37 together. Father, we thank you for your word. Pray you would continue speaking to us now. Help us to understand the meaning of this passage, and help us to know Christ through it. We ask your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, we all want to beat that rat race. Now, you know what I mean. I'm talking about the days when you go into the office and you work hard from 9 to 6, or even longer, you're pursuing that goal of success. I don't know what success is for you guys, whether it's climbing to the top of the career ladder to become CEO or a senior partner, whether you want to reach financial security and be able to retire well, or that your desire is to one day switch jobs, to move out of London and do that job you've always wanted to do, rather than staring at spreadsheets all day. Now, imagine you're working hard and you're seeking to move up that career ladder to meet that goal, whatever it is. You've met your targets each month. You've worked to gain new clients and strike deals that bode well for the welfare of the company. You've done everything you can to be an asset. And the opportunity for promotion is right around the corner. When you get that, the finish line is closer in sight. But all of a sudden, this new kid comes onto the floor. Now, they hold this charisma and sway that wins people over. The only thing is that you never see them at their desk. They're always taking time off. And when they do come into work, they're the first person to go on their lunch break or to go for a coffee or to take people to the pub on Thursdays. That's fine. You know, that's okay. Let them do their thing, you're thinking. But then you find out that they get that promotion you've been working hard for. And it feels like they didn't deserve it. But they're ahead and you feel like you're left behind. Now, what do we do when we feel left behind? What do God's people do when they feel left behind? In Psalm 37 here, a psalm of wisdom written by David, we are told of two ways to live and two outcomes at the end. One for the wicked, one for the righteous. And David forms his thoughts off the back of what he has observed in verse 35. Look at it with me here. In verse 35, David has seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree. You can imagine the picture, can't you? This person's doing really well for themselves. And the righteous are looking at them. They look at their branches in response and the fruit of their labor. And they're feeling slightly left behind as this mismatch that's going on here. But David is encouraging the righteous from his own experience in verse 1 to do this. Fret not. Fret not. But verse 3, trust. Have faith and trust the Lord. But why should the righteous look to the Lord? Because in verse 37, the finish line for the righteous is a certain hope of a future. That finish line will lead to rest. But for the wicked, verse 38, they will be cut off. And as we walk our way through Psalm 37, this is what we are to remember. The righteous should look to the Lord and not the wicked because of what's ahead. So don't fret, but trust the Lord when you feel left behind. Let's dig deeper into the psalm as we'll work out three questions that are on your outline sheets there. Why should the righteous avoid fretting? What should the righteous do instead of fretting? And what will happen to the righteous and to the wicked? Let's dig in, shall we? Let's think about this first question here. Why should the righteous avoid fretting? Now, as the psalm begins, as we've seen, with this command to fret not. Now, the word used here is actually to describe a burning anger or an indignation against another person. And in verse 1, the psalmist tells us who we aren't to fret or get angry over. Look at verse 1 with me here. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. For they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Now, around this time of the year, it's beautiful in the countryside, isn't it? Especially as you're driving through the likes of the Cotswolds or Kent, and you admire the greenery as the sun shines on it. But every so often, especially during a heatwave with the good weather we've been having, that scenery changes, doesn't it? Don't know if you remember the scenes from the summer of 2022, as the heatwave lasted for months across the summer. Greenwich looked more like the African savannah. If you went to Kent, the garden of England, it was absolutely black because of the wildfires that happened there. Psalm 37 tells us that the wicked person, who appears to be lush and green now, will one day wither, dry up, fade away. Like the grass, they'll be gone. Well, so what? Why do God's people need to hear this? is God saying here that there is nothing sweeter than revenge? Well, it's actually more of a warning than a comfort to God, for God's people to listen to. Because look down at verses 7 and 8 here. Because this command is repeated again with more clarity. In verse 7, David says, "Fret not over the wrongdoer who prospers in his way. He carries out his evil devices." You see, their success is by using people to get ahead. And it feels unjust when that happens, doesn't it? They're like weeds in a garden, and they're an annoyance to the gardener. They prosper in their ways. They spread themselves out and make themselves a nuisance, threatening the lives of the righteous who are planted by God, who wants them to flourish in his garden, his land that he's placed them. And yet the wicked take advantage of the righteous and have their own way. And the righteous are tempted in every respect to get their own back, to do whatever it takes to succeed again and get back on top. Don't know if you've seen the movie The Social Network. It's the story about Mark Zuckerberg and Eduardo Saverin as they both develop Facebook. You all know what happens. Zuckerberg dilutes and pushes Saverin out of the company. And Zuckerberg takes full control. And so Saverin took revenge as he fretted and he sued Zuckerberg. Because, let's be honest, that's what you do in America, isn't it? Yeah. Or anywhere in the West. That's not, you know, apologies to any Americans here. But in verse 8, we see the warning and the reason why the righteous shouldn't fret over the wicked or over these individuals. Look at what David says. "Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil." You see, when we fret, we fall into evil. We become like those whom we fret over. And evil is not what the Lord asks his people to pursue as a means to be successful in his eyes. And when we get angry, it's right to question why we are angry. Are we angry because it's unfair that an injustice has been carried out? Or are we angry because we've been grieved in some way ourselves? Anger comes out of all of us, and it comes out in many forms, with some people being more passionate in their anger than others. But to say that our anger is something that we just have is falling into very dangerous territory. Because our anger can then become a question of who God is and his sovereignty over a fallen world that affects us. And if we aren't too careful, then our anger can lead us to sin. James chapter 1 verse 20, "We are rightly warned that the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." You see, anger doesn't help us in our mission or our mandate. Anger comes out of us. It signifies that we're upset. But sustained anger reveals to us our weakness and our deepest problems. It reveals to us that we reject God, we reject that the Lord is sovereign and cares for his people. He knows the righteous who can come before him in prayer. But instead, when they choose to stew in their own anger, it leads them to reject the Lord and turn to evil. And the psalmist encourages us to do something else instead of fretting. But what is that? What should the righteous do instead of fretting? Well, in verses 3 to 8, we have five commands or instructions that the righteous are to follow instead of fretting. Look at verse 3 here with me. Verse 3, they are to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. Now we know what it means to trust, to take someone's word on account of who they are. And it's very rare that you'll trust a colleague unless you know them very well. It's more likely that you'll trust your family or your friends, and that's because you know them. You know them by name, you know them because you've grown up with them or you have done life with them. And here, trusting the Lord is to trust the God who makes himself known by his name. Now in Hebrew, Lord, in capitals, that you see there, is God's name Yahweh written down. And the original readers were so in awe of God's name that they wanted to keep his name holy. And so they called him Lord. And in knowing him, the righteous can trust them. Not just because they know God's name, but because God both reveals himself to them through his name and through his actions. He befriends them in his faithfulness. He makes known to them his promises as sworn by his name. And on account of his name, he'll not let his actions, his promises go unfulfilled by his actions. But furthermore, verse 4, they are to delight in the Lord. And when they delight in the Lord, look at what he does. He gives them the desires of their hearts. Now think about it. What you delight in most becomes what your heart longs for. And if your heart desires that in which it finds delight, then it's satisfied. It's fulfilled. And to delight in the Lord is to delight in the Eternal One who made everything and made you to know him. And if your desires are shaped by this knowledge that God longs for you to know him, you'll reciprocate. But if your desires are shaped by replacements for God, you won't find delight in him. Those things will let you down. They will disappear. Or they'll become impossible goals to meet and also to keep forever. But the Lord consistently remains the same. Verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in the one who will act and bring justice to all and uphold the righteous into their right standing before him. Verse 7, they are to be still, to cease, to be patient and rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And how could someone find rest in the Lord, especially when anger is bubbling up inside them? It is both knowing him and trusting in his promises given through his word. Not being distracted by those who get ahead in life, by ways not fitting of what's acceptable. But instead look to the Lord himself and carry on trusting in him and what he promises his people. And as we've seen in verse 8, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. You see, the righteous learn to step away from the thing or the person that gets them angry or wrathful and turns to the Lord who they learn to delight and trust in. And by the way, this is not a checklist of things to do, but rather when one looks to the Lord to begin with and they know him, they begin to inhabit these commands as part of their everyday life. They become second nature. And as they do so, they learn how better life is under the wisdom of knowing the Lord and trusting him who is sovereign rather than taking matters into their own hands. You see, this psalm here is woven with themes of God's promises to his righteous people throughout it. And you can see it here in these few verses before we carry on. This helps us actually in considering what will happen to both the righteous and the wicked in the end, as it gives the righteous confidence to know that the Lord ultimately cares for his people who feel left behind. While the wicked will know that although they might get ahead now, their race will finish in ways they won't expect. So what will happen to the righteous and the wicked? We'll look at verses 9 to 11 here with me and we see the final conclusion. Verse 8, we're reminded to refrain yourself from anger and forsake wrath. And here's why. We don't want to fall into evil, because the evildoers shall be cut off. But those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. So we see two outcomes. The righteous will be blessed and the wicked will face judgment. And the rest of this psalm is laid out as a set of proverbs. And in these proverbs there are constant comparisons between the two as they are written in pairs. Just some things to draw out of these proverbs. We're not going to go through them one by one. Don't you worry. But firstly, the Lord promises justice. Look at verses 12 to 15 here with me. We see two pairs here. Verses 12 to 15, the wicked both plot and scheme to take advantage of those around them. But the Lord will see that there's a reaction to the actions of the wicked. And David looks at the righteous in their poverty and the prosperity of the wicked. And so in verse 16, he decides who he'd rather be. David would rather be counted with the righteous than with the wicked. But why? Because David knows that the Lord upholds the righteous. And verse 28, he loves justice. And he will not forsake his people. See, there is long-term gain for them in verse 18. And when hard times come, like they do in verse 19, they'll be provided for. In the days of famine, they will have abundance. The wicked, on the other hand, verse 20, will perish. They vanish like smoke. They go away. This pattern goes on. And David, in verses 23 to 25, give further reason why the righteous succeed in the end. Because those who delight in the Lord, verse 23, will have their steps or their life marked out for them by God. And David explains in this psalm that those who are righteous are to live out their lives and trust in the Lord who guides them each day. Trust that the Lord loves and sees justice have its way. Trust that the Lord's law will not cause the heart of the righteous to slip. Trust that the Lord will be with them each day and he will be their refuge and their help. And trust that on that final day, the Lord will reward his people with the inheritance of the land. That is the promise of eternal life in the age to come. This is the last day when God judges the righteous and the wicked. He looks at those who trust him and he says, "Welcome into my house where you belong." And to the wicked, he cuts them off. They're cast out, they're destroyed, and their future is sealed. For the righteous, there is certain hope. But for the wicked, there is a certain fate. So what does David want his readers to do? Well, as we've seen here, David says, don't fret, but trust the Lord when you feel left behind. And there's two implications that follow from this psalm. Firstly, for those who are Christian here or are righteous, what should you do in times like this when you feel left behind yourself? Now, just a reminder quickly that being righteous is nothing to do with you being good, first of all. You don't become righteous by just being good. Rather, to do with trust and reliance. Your life extends beyond the walls of your office, and your identity is marked by the Lord who knows you and makes you his own. Your circumstances in the office do not affect the certain inheritance that lies ahead for you. Psalm 37 reminds us that being righteous is having complete faith in God, to trust him, to wait on him, and take refuge in him. The fruit of that then leads to doing good. Doing it because you know who God is. You know what he has done in your life. And so you show thanksgiving in response. And so three things we see here. Trust the Lord. Verse 3, know him through his word. And verse 5, look back and see how his promises have been fulfilled in Christ. Look ahead to see the promises that are to come. And look in God's word to truly know him as the Lord who never fails to keep his promises. Secondly, wait on him. Be still or patient, as it says in verse 7. And know that those who wait, verse 11, in meekness, will inherit what the Lord promises in verse 34. This is such a strong promise of God that even Jesus quotes this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. He says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." See, being meek in patience will lead to an inheritance of the land, a hope of eternal life, and to dwell in Christ's kingdom with him as his people. Something that lasts for all eternity. And so, what are you to do? Take refuge in him. Take refuge in God. Take refuge in him through Jesus. See that he is your help and your strength. When times are tough and you feel like you're left behind, the Lord is there with you. He will not leave you behind. Instead, he is comforting you and shielding you from the worst that will come your way. Nothing on this earth can separate you from his love. Even death will not separate you from him. And we know this because the worst that you deserved was taken by Jesus at the cross. God's wrath and judgment for sin was borne by him so that you can know this peace of eternal life. It's there that you find your refuge. It's there that you find your salvation. But for the wicked, which are those who fail to trust the Lord, there is a warning in verse 10. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. God will show right judgment to those who fail to know him as Lord. They'll be cut off, and their finish line will lead to being cut off forever from him. No life, no love, no meaning or anything. Even those who flourish now, they won't last forever. So please consider right now, what is the better investment? To focus entirely on yourself and live for now in rejection of God, or turning to him so that you can live for all eternity? Trying to do your things or trying to do things your way, hoping that God will reject you, or will trying to do things your way, hoping that God will later accept your CV, or seeing that He is offering you an opportunity to change your ways by trusting Him for salvation. You see, God does not treat His people like a boss who is easily charmed by an employee who sweet talks their way into success. But God looks to those who look to Him, who know Him and know His promises for His people. He gives His people a place of their own. At the end of their race, they'll not be treated like rats as they are in the city, but as children with Lamb to call their home. God will save His people from the fate of the wicked. And so don't fret for whatever is happening now, whether it's work bringing you down or life kicking you backwards. Don't look around you to see where others are at. Don't worry about your place in the career ladder in anxiety or thinking that you'll be stuck in this role forever. But look ahead. Trust the Lord to see that you won't be left behind by Him, and He will bring His people through to be home with Him. Let's pray. Lord God, loving Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that You care for those who look to You in faith, who trust You and know You, and Father, know that their lives have been marked out by You. Father, help us each day to follow You, to follow Jesus, the One who has laid down His life for us, and to trust in His promise that when we wait patiently, those who are meek will inherit the earth. Those who are meek will be brought into eternal life to dwell with You forever. Lord, we thank You for this great promise. We know and we thank You for this certain hope at the finish line. Pray that You help us to look ahead to this truth. And for those who do not know You today, Lord, I pray that they will trust You and see that You are good and that Your promises are true. Lord, thank You for this time. Help us to continue taking this truth into our workplaces and the rest of our days, and encourage us through it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. That's all.